Well, we're recording you still, so.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
And we're back!
There we go.
So, we'll sort that out in post-production.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, keep it in for prosperity. So that was Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Fanfare of the Common Man.
Mm.
And unfortunately, Keith Emerson shot himself, it looks like.
Yes, he did.
On Thursday evening in Los Angeles. Is it a bit soon to sort of add him to the LA / Laurel Canyon death list?
Well, it was Santa Monica, wasn't it?
Is that a bit further south?
That he died in.
Or no?
Yeah, a little bit further. That's more on the coast, isn't it? But, apparently he's from this neck of the woods.
Yeah, he's from Croydon. They're up from Croydon.
Oh, he's from Croydon, right. Well, his mother lives down here near Rye, apparently.
Oh, right.
Or did. Because he was, how old was he? He was nearly 70 as well, wasn't he?
He was 71.
I think he was 70.
71.
Right, so, Vic told me a funny story this afternoon, which I would like to relay to the listeners, which made me laugh rather loudly. Vic's got a friend, obviously, in the music world, who is a piano tuner. He plays in bands and he's also a music teacher. He's from Brighton. And he's one of these guys who's gifted with a perfect pitch ear, which doesn't really stead you too well in the rock business because, you know, a lot of people who've got perfect pitch, the only work they can get is like tuning pianos and stuff like that. And this guy does this and he gets called out to a place in Rye, I believe, which is about 10 miles away from us, Nick? 10? It's a bit further than Eastbourne, isn't it?
No, it's on the other side of Hastings. It's probably about 45 miles away.
Right. Okay, it's quite a way away. So he gets called to tune this piano, and there's obviously an old lady's piano, and then there's a guy sitting there, and this friend of Vic's starts saying, I'm a piano player myself. I play in bands and I play around. So I think this guy gets up and plays a bit on the piano after he's tuned, and the guy starts saying, oh, you're pretty good. Yeah, and this guy says, yeah, I used to play a bit in the 70s. He said, you know, I used to be in a band myself and all that. And he went, oh, really? He's going, yeah, you're really good. You should take it up again and, you know, go out and gig sort of thing. And the guy just sort of went, yeah, okay, yeah. And then when he wrote the check out for him, he looked at it and it said fucking Keith Emerson on it. He just went bright red and he went, are you the Keith Emerson? And he went, yeah. He's going, oh, I'm really sorry. So that was my funny story that Vic told me. So brilliant.
And Keith Emerson is the dad of Darren Emerson out of Underworld, isn't he? Or was?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did not know. Yeah, I mean, never. You're talking about one of the. I mean, I never really got in. I mean, the only song I know is that. Is Fanfare of the Common Man, sort of thing. Just because it is.
Lucky Man, you got to know that one.
Oh, Lucky Man as well, yeah, yeah. And Drummer Boy as well, is it? It's another one of theirs. But back in the day, they were the biggest band going.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing a documentary, and Greg Lake was the bass player, and the Palmer was the drummer. And they were so rich.
A couple of them were in Asia, too, weren't they?
Yeah.
They tried to make a super group called King Asia.
They were in loads of bands like King Crimson. One of them was in. And also there's a band called The Nice. And they did sort of like, they were one of the first prog rock bands. And they used to do like show tunes in a prog rock style. But when Emerson, Lake and Palmer got one, they were making so much money that the guy asked, could he have a drum kit made out of steel? And the guy went, well, do you want quarter inch or half inch steel? And he goes, well, what's the price difference. And he went, well, they're both the same. He's going, ah, I can go for half inch then. But when he realised they needed actually its own truck to carry it, it was heavy. couldn't actually transport it around, so he went back to using the same old crappy one he always used to use. But yeah, they were massive, but I mean, we just a tad before my time. I didn't really sort of.
Yeah, they were way before my time.
Music, but yeah, definitely. And, yeah, but, prog rock's not really my favourite genre. No, too many notes.
Space rock is a lot better. And it's sort of
definitely. A bit.
It's sort of the combination of all those types of melodies, but with like proper rock rather than like the soft rock that the prog rock is. It's a bit too soft, isn't it, prog rock?
Well, it's basically the difference between sort of people who went to music school and were serious about things as opposed to people who were just doing it for the love of it sort of thing. Because like the likes of Yes and all that were just too many notes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
fucking calm down, man.
Less
more.
listening to that there, which is sort of their classic sound, it is... Mm-hmm. It's trying to be sort of like a modern classical, isn't it? Space rock is just like more noise orientated rock rather than.
And more expressive.
Yeah. But it's good all the same, you know, fair play to them.
Hell yeah. But the odd tune, you know, to his own.
I wonder if he'd had some, bad news or something to make him.
Well, he was. His hands were failing him. He had a nervous deterioration in his nervous system, and he was losing. He only had 8 functional fingers.
Right,
so his playing days were coming to an end. Right. That's what's going on.
Yeah, that could piss you off.
Yeah.
If your whole life is playing the GM.
Yeah. Was it Parkinson's or something?
Said
like
it many
that?
Times.
Don't know that it's been stated what the condition was, but it was just a nerve condition that he had already lost the use of 2 of his fingers. And he knew that, you know, he was just not going to be able to play anymore. And he got very depressed and, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Well, that's a soul destroyed. We don't like suicides. Taking on things, an end of a night. End of a night. I've got a little bit of a sink. A news story, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is, it relates to the favoured old birthday list that we used to do in News Bongs. And today is the birthday of Steve Harris. You know who Steve Harris is?
Nope.
He's the bass player with Iron Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and Iron Maiden, have you heard about this? What happened to them recently?
No.
No. Right. Well, they're on a world tour right now, and they have a. If you're familiar with Iron Maiden, they have a logo called Eddie.
Yeah.
You know him.
And so
they've got an aeroplane in which they fly around the world because Bruce Dixon's actually the lead singer, has actually got a pilot's license.
Oh.
And he flies them around the world. And guess what the name of the aircraft is called?
Eddie Airways.
Eddie One.
Ed Force One.
Ed Force One.
But and they're on the South American leg of the tour at the moment, and Ed Force One was being taxi. Did you call it? It's being dragged around by a little crane thing to get into position, and the spring broke on the thing. It was towing it, and it actually damaged the engine. And two guys who were doing it got injured. Have you seen this story? No.
We haven't. Just tell us.
Oh, that's it. But basically, I just sort of brought to mind of our good friend Swami when he got fucking most expensive.
It was the crew chief of the aircraft that did not place the wheel chocks on the ground in the proper position so that the truck doesn't go backward that way.
All right.
I was the driver, and I was the one who got in trouble. And my name came up at the Pentagon, which is never a good thing. And
Well, that'd be Ronald Reagan. Ronald and Nancy would have been going, that's Swami.
Yeah, they were.
They would be going, it was whilst the plane was being towed, the steering pin of the tow truck fell out, meaning it collided with the two ground tugs, with a ground tug. As it tried to make its turn, the two ground tug operators were injured and taken to hospital, and the actual jet engine got smashed up, so that meant that Air Force One could not fly, which meant Iron Maiden was stuck in Chile in Santiago.
Wow.
Yeah, fucking hell, it's made a hell of a damage, isn't it?
It really has. Well, you see, that's what airplanes are like. They're very flimsy. It doesn't take much. So, you know...
You telling me
if
that
if it were to crash into a building,
it would turn it to dust.
It well,
rather than cutting a silhouette out like a roadrunner.
Shall we throw out that story that I told you earlier as well?
I can't remember what it was, but go on.
The earthquake. The earthquake story.
Oh right, yep. You've got so the facts.
Do you want to set it up a little bit? I've got that. It's in my head.
In your head, are you sure?
Yeah. Well, do you want to set it up?
We'll just do a quick one, okay.
Well, do you want to set it up? There was no seismic crash on 9/11.
When the towers supposedly fell to the ground, didn't make a significant seismic signal. The signal that they left was...
There was no impact.
The building... lifted, as if they'd been lifted from the ground. The ground merely recovered, and the seismic signal showed that there was no impact of them hitting the ground. The signal showed that just the ground beneath the buildings recovered, like when you come up from a soft chair and the sponge beneath you kind of recovers its shape.
That's the seismic reading taken from 9/11 sort of thing. So there's an urban myth that says that if China... If the Chinese national soccer team won the World Cup and if every Chinese person jumped up and down to celebrate the goal, there would be an earthquake, right? That's an urban myth that's often told in soccer circles. However, at the moment in the soccer season here in England, there's a team called Leicester who have never won anything significant in their entire 100-odd years history. They are currently top of the top division in England. And a fortnight ago, they played a game which would have taken them, if they won, they would have taken them 5 points clear of the league, which meant they're, you know, pretty out there favourites to win it. And there's they were playing a team called Norwich, and they scored in the 88th minute, which is
two minutes of a 90-minute game.
So there's 2 minutes to go, and they score 0-0. Leicester score a goal. The crowd jump up and down, and there was an earthquake recorded at
a seismic signal
of 0.3 on the Richter scale, which is no, you know, that's measurable. If that's the right adjective to use, sort of thing. So therefore, that's, I believe, 58,000 people jumping up and down has caused that to be recorded at a local university. It's been called the Vardy Quake because one of the team players is called Jamie Vardy.
Who scored the goal?
He didn't score the goal, but they're calling it, because he's the famous player from the team, they're calling it the Vardy Quake. So if
why would they choose him instead of the person?
Because he's the focal point, because he scored the most goals. And And the guy who scored it's called Uela, which is a, doesn't really scan.
Uela Quake.
Uela Quake. It sounds like a breakfast cereal, doesn't it? So that means that a human, a collection of 58,000 odd human beings has
made
registered
it, made
a bigger, has made a bigger seismic wave than the Twin Towers coming down. We don't want to see the last movie.
Disappearing, so, yeah, going away.
That was...
Okay, bringing the topic back into this decade. no, wait, we are still in the...
Yeah, that only happened.
Don't know if you've heard about this in the mainstream media, but the French government has indicted Baron David de Rothschild for embezzling large sums of money from British pensioners from 05 to 08. And it's a violation. Whoa!
Sorry.
That was an earthquake over here.
Well done!
And that are the sizable seismic.
Where did the towers go?
We have a very rich sound effect library here. anyhow, Paris-based judge Javier Bermudez ruled that Baron Rothschild of the Rothschild Services Group must face a trial for the crimes. That is, if they can find him in one of his many mansions scattered around France. Now, the French government has opened an investigation into the Swiss Rothschild unit called Edmund de Rothschild. You would think that's a person, but it's actually a group, a business group. The Swiss unit of Edmund de Rothschild said it's the subject of a French probe regarding a former business relationship managed by a former employer. Edmund de Rothschild Swiss is active, quote, Edmund de Rothschild Swiss is actively participating in the criminal investigation underway, the Geneva-based bank said in an emailed statement recently. The bank denies all allegations that have been made against it. This Edmund de Rothschild outfit is a private banking and asset management firm established in Paris in 1953, and oversees about 150 billion euros. It is led today by Baron Benjamin de Rothschild and his wife Ariane. The Swiss unit traces its roots to the acquisition of Banque Privée in Geneva in 1965. Haaretz article interview got Baron Benjamin de Rothschild quoted saying, the United States is finished, at least for the moment. And I do not believe in God. I do not report to him. The Rothschild story is precariously embedded in the footnotes of world history, of course. For any unfamiliar, Nathan Rothschild became the largest debtor to the Bank of England until the bank was privatized in 1946. However, although the Bank of England is state-owned, 97% of the UK's money supply is still privately controlled in the form of interest-bearing loans created by the Rothschild-dominated commercial banks. The Rothschild's modern manipulation of the British economy is clearly evident, as seen in a clip. We're not going to run it here, but Queen Elizabeth asked about the downturn of the British economy, a question answered by Rothschild lackeys 4 years after the Queen personally had to visit the City of London Bank of England headquarters to get an answer. The indictment, an actual indictment now of a Rothschild, is not simply another City of London dirty bank being brought to justice. The imprisonment of the controlling interests of life on earth would mean a stop to endless wars, illegal mass surveillance, debt slavery, and a Luciferian culture agenda. So there is hope from the top of the banking pile that a Rothschild may actually end up buying bars. We'll see.
Yeah, but there's the The serpent has many heads.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The chances of a Rothschild going into jail, which he probably owns, is pretty popular. Yeah.
We'd
just like to...
Go on.
Go on, Nick, go on, Nick.
Just on a money-related thing there, I saw an advert for PayPal today on TV, and the slogan, the tagline, was PayPal, the new money.
Really?
You know, this is sort of compounding the cashless society, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I can back that up by saying that being in the building trade now, some of the outlets that you go to buy tools and materials, etc., are now selling PayPal gizmos that you can take to a client and say, you know, just type your fucking number into that and you'll pay your bill that way.
Yeah. Well, there's that, there's PayPal, and there's also everywhere now you see Apple Pay.
Apple Money. Yeah. That's actually in the chip and pin cards in not in supermarkets, but in some other retailers like Taj, for instance, I've got it.
Yeah. Loads of places.
A young person the other day said, "Oh, look, they've got Apple Pay here."
They've just come out recently in advertising over here about the Samsung Galaxy phones that you can take anywhere that's got a debit card thing that you can run your debit card. You can push a button on your phone and pay through that now with a Galaxy Samsung phone.
Didn't George Osborne, our Chancellor over here, recently sort of advocate biometric payments as well for your eyes and your fingerprint, what have you?
Yeah, thumbprint. Well, they were sort of...
Thumbprint.
They were trialling the thumbprint thing a few years ago, and it either... didn't have much of an uptake, or people didn't like it, and so I think that's just been shelved for the moment. Because
has it? Because we heard the kids who come from families of welfare backgrounds have to give their thumbprint to get free school meals.
Yeah, well, So they'll do that for that generation, but I'm more like for our generation. You know, sort of adults, they sort of tried to bring it in with the card, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But then they chose the chip and pin. I have heard stories also of schools having, you know, sort of biometrics to access food and water.
And that is
what it is. So food, water, and knowledge are the three things that you need to identify yourself with.
Yeah.
And this is what the kids are being programmed into. By the time that generation are adults, it'll mm-hmm. be... driverless cars, and expansion of the smart house and the Internet of Things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they just announced today that George Osborne again. He said that he wants to see by as little as 2020. He wants to see a 10%. Of all cars being driverless, with a rollout of 2030 to be, you know, all of them.
Because it's funny that.
So you're going where we tell you to go.
Funny that they've put the infrastructure down for all these driverless cars, and they're making out like it's a something that they're just coming up with.
For terrorism.
Step by step.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's rolled out already.
For the last 5 years, they've been putting in the infrastructure under the motorways and sides of the roads and that.
Is that where all the money has gone that should have been done on all the fucking potholes?
possibly, yeah.
Yeah, more than likely.
Because now isn't there when the AA saying that they should increase road tax to pay for the potholes this week? So
you know what? There are so many people paying car tax at the moment, and they're saying they can't afford to mend potholes.
Yeah, but they can have walls.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and now there's the attack on disabled people once again, when rather large list of MPs voted to sanction people's people that are not necessarily skiving off work, but actually need support and things like that they're taking away. And yet all these people that voted for that have got the nose in the trough so deep that they've forgotten what people are.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's such a fucking disconnect now. It's just so far disconnected from fucking reality that it's just sick. I mean, it's for. It just makes my blood boil.
Yo, if all those MPs just stopped for 1 year, they're expensive. You know, they are on enough money just to, like, pay to get to work and back. And, like, pay for rent on a flat, like everybody else does. They don't need to actually have two houses. An investment would be to I'm sure Westminster is big enough to actually house, have a bedroom each. of all those MPs, it's not
being like a big frat house for
that's what it should be though.
Yeah, because you'd know where the fuckers are.
In both of our political systems, the fact that they are civil servants.
Yeah.
Has been completely forgotten.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Do it because you want to support the people you represent. The United States, for all of this talk of democracy, is not a democracy. It is a representative republic.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It's never been a democracy, is it?
Democracy. Never, never. It is a representative republic, where the elected representative goes to the Congress, the Senate, in order to bring about what the people they represent want, period.
The UK has never been a democracy because it's always been a constitutional monarchy. Well, it was a monarchy and then changed to a constitutional monarchy. And there was a bit of a bother this week because someone in the Privy Council let slip about Queenie going, "Oh, Europe."
I know. That's quite abusing, isn't it?
Is that what it was? It was someone in the Privy Council that let it slip?
Yeah.
Right. Wondered where they'd got their quote from.
There was some finger pointing that it could possibly have been Gove.
Gove.
Or Pop. Well,
he's a puppet, so
I saw that guy's name in a headline recently and not familiar with him, but I recall seeing his
He's name. A fucking joke. He's like he's the guy who stood up and said, "I'm a Zionist."
Oh my god.
Public rally.
Okay.
Yeah, he says, I'm not fucking denying nothing. I'm a cunt. Can't see it? It's written right across my face.
He was in charge of education and he just completely pissed off all the teachers and the students.
He's justice secretary now.
But he used to be a journalist, didn't he?
He just is. Mm.
Then he was, he was a journalist, that's right, yeah. And he's Scottish.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of education,
Eton.
There we go.
He's born in Edinburgh. But
born in Edinburgh, went to Eton.
You do get people who speak very posh in Edinburgh.
One of the posh. The Scottish do seem to surreptitiously run Westminster.
Well, the last three prime ministers have all been Scottish, including the current one.
Mm. Yeah, well, there you go.
Cameron's from Port Island, which is just north of Edinburgh.
There was all this hoo-ha about independence from England. Seems like Scotland already run it.
That's why they're doing the Brexit now. They thought, oh, that was a great fucking... We had a great laugh. Everybody got really uptight.
Are they running that again? I remember seeing a headline here recently about Scotland, you know, taking that up again.
Actually, Nicola Sturgeon said that there's an actual legal case for another referendum.
Oh, for God's sake. How many? It's like in Ireland, isn't it? When they voted no to the euro, and then they made them vote again until they said yes.
Well, you guys keep voting. Just get drunk and vote again.
Now the SNP, they're saying now they'll undertake a fresh drive for independence.
Didn't they have the referendum and they said no, and then they brought in the smoking ban, and then they said yes.
Kind of sounds like the Chicago Democrat way of vote early and vote often.
Sturgeon, she's a nasty piece of work.
They're all
Jimmy Cranky.
Yeah.
Jimmy
Cranky. And Meadows.
I'd rather have Jimmy.
Yeah. I'd rather have Jimmy Cranky.
I've got a few Agenda 21 watches if you're interested.
Apologies.
You know, it's become Agenda 2030 now.
Yeah.
They didn't get it done by 21st century, but, you know, we might want to update it to discussion of Agenda 2030
I think they're just trying to divert attention from it, though, by coming up with all these different numbers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's Agenda 21.
It's not going to happen yet. It's going to happen when you're dead, so don't worry about it. It's actually going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think they're trying to mask over the original document.
Yeah, people are onto it now. People are going to kind of pick up on the Agenda 21.
Yeah.
So but if they don't get used to looking at Agenda 2030, they may think it's something different. It's been rebranded.
Exactly.
It's the new Coke.
Yeah. And if 2030 sounds further away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's when you'll be dead.
And they know that people don't bother about things that are further away. So, yeah.
The Agenda 21.
The immediacy is gone.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
It's from the Vehicle Exercise Duty, the VED, which is proposing that diesel vehicles should now be charged at £800, or should be raised up to £800 to help improve air quality, I think Tank said. So
what kind of think tank was thinking that?
It's not a diesel think tank, that's for sure. But
was this the same think tank that was saying buy diesel cars 10 years ago it's like the same think tanks that kind of tell you that red wine's bad for you, and then it's good for you, and then chocolate's bad for you, and then it's good for you, and don't eat this and don't eat that,
and
only have synthetic margarines
and sugar tax.
Sugar tax. You know, these people.
It's a way of
allowed out without a carer.
Yeah, it's a way of putting people into a dissociated state.
Mm.
Because they're saying you're getting told one thing, is bad, and then you tell, then you're getting told that the same thing is good, and then and then bad. And then good, and so people are like, "Whoa."
Well, that ties into this article, because what the think tank's saying is that it suggested that if it was put up to that much, there would be 500 million could be raised each year for a higher VED, which is a vehicle exercise duty. The process being put towards a £2,000 grant for the owners of old diesel cars to upgrade to a green car.
Well, there you go.
And
who the hell are they talking to when they're talking about people upgrading to this, that, and the other? You know, if I don't know, your average working class person doesn't have the ability to upgrade or anything. Downgrading is the only option you have as a working class person in this country. In that you go, well, I just can't afford this anymore. I'm going to get rid of it. And, so it's and like the, not have a car.
The green cars are really, really, really pricey as well.
And also
the tracking technology as well.
But the batteries that are needed for these vehicles are so fucking more damaging to the environment than any petrol fucking or any diesel car is. Because the amount of shit they've got in mine out of, you know, countries that we're, quote-unquote, at war with, Afghanistan and all the rest of it sort of thing, is where these minerals...
They have to mine these countries to get the minerals to make the batteries.
And they are, you know, to get to these minerals is not like a coal mine where you went down a shaft. It's ripped the whole fucking mountain thing aside to get to it.
Then filter it through the local water supply.
And use the military of other countries to fucking defend it.
And yet they killed the guy that came up with the water battery, didn't they? But he'd like proved, you know, he'd like actually built a car, a normal car that sort of went and documented it.
You can find the clip on YouTube where the two presenters say, well, they'll probably put the water price up next time. That's the little end sort of segment.
I remember that, yeah. So that technology is being shelved, isn't it?
It's an unmeasurable, uncontrollable thing that you can't possibly let mankind loose on because they'll be too free.
That's why the incremental to electric is the way forward for the establishment, because that is meterable at the moment.
Yeah.
And so...
Just a random curiosity from this side of the pond. Do you guys have to pay to put air in your tires at every place available when it used to be free?
Not every place, some places.
Very far and few between. But
most supermarkets, you can do it for free.
Oh, really?
Okay. Occasionally, garages will charge you 20p or 50p.
Sainsbury's these days who do it for free. Tesco's don't.
Oh, they don't.
Tesco's is really expensive. It's one of those 20p for fucking
2 minutes.
2 seconds there.
Yeah. Just long enough for you to drag the hose out the fucking thing and put it to the tire.
And get your hubcap off.
I know that a couple of times. It's really annoying. But you ready for Agenda 21 and watch
number two? Yep.
Number two? Hinkley. This is EDF is the Energy Department of France, which is a French government department. Yeah?
Yeah. That owns
most of the electricity. Owns the electricity over here in this country, and they committed to building a nuclear, because France is very big on nuclear power generation. Mm-hmm. There's loads of fucking nuclear stuff in France, like that, but they're
all the resources in France and they're nuclear.
Yeah, they've got weird. Yeah. But they're building one in this place called Hinkley in Britain. It's at the cost of £18 billion.
Oh.
And EDF may have to scrap the idea because they need the French government, to give them money to build this thing in Britain. What the fuck's going on with that story? It's like,
Well, the French do a lot of the waste disposal as well, don't they? They have the contract for a lot of the dustbin lorries, trash lorries that come round. Onyx.
Is there no electricity generated? I'm sorry, go ahead, Simon.
Yeah, we produce our own electricity with British companies, but
because we're a free market over here, Swami, that companies can buy, you know, any British company they like. Like, for instance, G4S, they're Australian.
Yeah, they run our circle.
God, they run
Serco, right? Yeah,
everything.
They run
don't
fucking
they?
Everything. So, if you've got the money to go into Britain, you're more than welcome, more than merrier, sort of thing. Yeah. And this is what EDF have done. But the weird thing about EDF is they are actually a government department in the French, you know, they're EDF, the energy department in France.
And they're just around the corner from you.
They're just a stone's throw. They're actually on Halliburton Road.
Yeah. Oh, had you heard that Halliburton, you know, the company, is now owned by Monsanto?
Oh my god.
So the same people.
Yeah. So I thought that was quite amusing. Now, the final little part of the Agenda 21 trilogy is a lady called Professor Caroline Mitchell has just been given...
I think it's Catherine, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, Catherine Mitchell, sorry, yep. Yeah, Catherine Mitchell.
So scoring at home.
has just been given a 1.3 million fellowship grant, right, which permits her to continue her work as a proposed future leader. Right, this grant is awarded to sort of people like that. And guess what she does? She's professor of energy policy at Exeter University.
As a future leader. Where have I heard those kind of words?
Common purpose.
As we know, Catherine Mitchell is professor of energy policy at Exeter University, having spent her for most of her career in a variety of working roles in the climate establishment.
There you go.
Any government funded.
Yes. So there we go. She's put. Oh God, it's just mad, isn't it? Because she's clearly common purpose trained. Common purpose. That what was the book that Julia Middleton, head of Common Purpose, wrote? Leading beyond authority, leadership in the post-democratic Britain, was it, or the post-democratic world?
Society.
So this is all society. This is all about. Voting meaning nothing, you know, you might as well be voting for the name of your next door neighbor's cat. It's all the people who are going to be in charge of what's going on and the decisions that affect your lifestyle are going to be people who are put into these positions of power, just like this Catherine, whatever her name
Catherine
is, Mitchell.
Yeah.
Obviously, the heads of our councils around the country, the head of the councils are all. Common purpose graduates who are on well over 100 grand salaries, and anything they decide overrides what the elected councillors say. So whoever you elect, you'll still have elections, but they'll just be for just for the sake of doing a little dance. But these people will have no power, and it will be the unelected people who have gone through the common purpose training who will ultimately. Tell you what's going on and have the
position. So the appointees will make all the decisions and the elected people will just get together and yell at each other a lot to
exactly. And people will think that that's democracy.
Yeah, and we'll be one step closer to the Hunger Games.
Yeah. The dictatorship.
Well, there's stuff going on here. Proposing that there be legal punishment for climate change deniers.
Fucking hell.
I didn't. That's what they're, yeah.
But so we can't deny that the climate changes.
Well, no, you can't deny that humans are causing the climate.
Oh, right. Well, they need to be more specific, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, they'll be real specific when they knock on your door with a warning. Yeah.
And if they're going to be more specific, then they need to have more evidence, in which case, because that would, I think that's not
the evidence in Paris at that big, you know, climate change get together that decided all this shady stuff.
Yeah. You see, I think that's an argument they don't really want to have. And so what they're trying to do is just get public opinion on their side so that they don't actually have to have that argument. Mm-hmm. They can just have enough people kind of shouting somebody down who says, hold on a minute, humans aren't responsible for it. And everyone will go, boo, shut up, you, shut
and
up.
That's when,
you know what
and,
you want to...
and that's when the security comes in and drags them out.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and everyone goes, oh, what an idiot they are. Enslavers, leaders, chosen people, enslavers, Catherine Mitchell, enslavers.
Yes, obviously you know better than anyone else. The government is giving you free 1.3 million quid. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you should read the book. It's called The fellowship's called the ERSRFC Fellowship, and it aims the fellowship aims to provide support to the aspiring and current world-leading individuals who are delivering the highest quality research to meet the UK's global priorities, which links to our strategic priorities and focusing on areas where growth is required. Fellowship developed the next generation of researchers with the greatest potential across the post-doctoral LA establishment career stages. That's just straight out of
that's the lingo, it's saying we're training the people that are going to tell you what to do.
That's PR bullshit.
I wonder what that smell was. Yeah.
Fellowship
we're
is for,
right by the farmyard.
You get this
really
as well.
Are.
I mean, how long would 1.3 million fucking last you? Quite a while, eh? Given on the sums of money that.
Well, it just depends how much jewelry you've got to buy.
Well, I suppose, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. But this fucking grant is for 4 years. Ooh. So. If 1.3 million is meant to last you 4 years, what the fuck are you going to spend?
Well,
like,
I'll tell you what she's
going to
spend it on. She's going to be spending it on research where people are coming up with things which show that climate change, you know, that you can heat your home by using. Yeah, that's it. By saving up your farts. And sending them to the moon and releasing them safely where they won't affect the Earth's atmosphere. That's the kind of research and development they're going to be on. But anything that kind of has you can prefix with, like, you know, climate change, these people will be getting mega.
They'll be getting a slice of that 1.3 mil, won't they?
Yeah, they'll be getting a bit of it. But it won't be people who are saying, you know, climate change is not man-made, unfortunately.
No,
they won't be
no.
researching. Are you really responsible?
No, because those sort of people will get taken out of public view, like David Bellamy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't have that even a dissenting voice in that realm because the Agenda 21 isn't just the about the like resources of the planet and the control of the people in a physical way. It's also sort of, it is becoming the new religion, isn't it? And,
it really is.
And,
really
and with all the sort of colluding of the world's major religions, yeah, because at the moment, the sort of, you know, the umpteenth time this sort of Christian, Muslim situation is being rolled out, you know, it's like sort of, it's just a constant for the past, what, 1500 years. you think that people would, you know, just go, well, chill. But that it's sort of leading up to, you know, the sort of one world religion, which the green movement is becoming, isn't it?
Has to be. Yeah, so, yeah.
We've got like about 8 minutes. So we've got another 5 for the show and then for the tune.
And then we can round up with the song. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, we can always, it doesn't matter. We can finish a few minutes early, whatever. Doesn't have to be bang on, does it?
No.
But, may the Swami promote an upcoming guest?
Please do, yeah.
Coming up April 2nd, we will be joined on the Type 1 Radio Lounge by Dr. Richard Allen Miller.
He looks like cool. A right lunatic as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Tell us a little about Ricky Allen Miller.
Richard Allen Miller, yes.
And what does he do?
Maybe SEALs, maybe super soldiers.
Oh,
yeah, he helped to establish the training protocols, the mental training protocols for the Navy SEALs. He was also one of the contributing anonymous authors of the Anarchist Cookbook, classic book from back in the 60s. And his current efforts are in getting people to realize their own freedom and sovereignty and provide for themselves with growing their own gardens and picking the correct plants and herbs for medicines and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I looked him up. He seems quite good.
Interesting.
Actually, yeah. And he's a bit wacky as well, so he's quite
a lot. Quite, yeah, he's like a four-year-old. That's a mad
it's funny.
Sounds good.
The clip I watched, the guy like myself could hardly read to save his life, sort of thing, and he was just like laughing along with him.
Yep.
He's going, "Good job, you don't read for a living, my friend, isn't it?" So yeah, no, I quite enjoyed. I'd never heard of him, but I quite enjoyed looking at him. He seems good. Seems like a good guy. So yeah,
2nd of April. Yep.
Day after April Fool's Day.
Any news on Anthony Peak, Nick?
No, he hasn't gotten back to me yet. I might just gee him up. I'll entice him with your story.
Well, I'd like to hit him with that raw.
I'll entice it. I won't like go into.
Yeah, just
like,
tell on the.
I'll just say.
Damien visited me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's too. Plus, a great guy. I love Anthony. I think he's,
he's
excellent. Yeah, I'd love to talk to him.
Really interested to have a chat with him.
We're not worthy, but come on anyway.
An awful lot of research on things that I've got.
Also with Dr. Richard Allen Miller, we'll be talking about accessing and learning from expanded states of consciousness. So he and this Swami both being master practitioners of such things, it'll be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. And that's similar to what Anthony Peak talked about as well.
Yeah. Maybe we could have a bit of a round table.
No, I don't think so. I think we need
probably
to
doing that already, aren't they? Those two guys are tuning in on us and they're like, I'll talk to those guys later.
So,
so any other business, I think?
Not really.
Maybe we wrap the song now. We haven't really got time to discuss anything else. So, thanks for listening to another evening of relaxed conspiracy chat.
Banter.
Yes.
And hopefully you'll tune in again next week.
Well, just on a final note, the way we started the show, and I was kind of, as I normally did, tripping over my tongue, saying that George Martin was some kind of military leader. But I actually found the article, and he was indeed in the Navy. And he was part of, get this, the Fleet Air Arm.
Yes.
So he was in the Navy, but he flew airplanes. And that's what that means, isn't it?
I guess, so yeah. So that's cleared that up.
That's cleared that up, yeah. And but the thing we were getting back to earlier was because he was quite keen to work with Lennon and Harrison on making weird stuff like playing stuff backwards and what have you and all that, which is very William Burroughs-esque and Crowley-esque. Mm-hmm. And have you got Tomorrow Never Knows lined up? So, yeah, this was the first adventure, well, the first published adventure into sort of sonic sculpting of the psychedelic nature that George Martin and the Beatles indulged in.
And it's cool.
Fucking amazing. It's on the Revolver album. Drop it, Nick. See you next week.